Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Joyce Houston. Joyce and I are both master food preservers with the University of California Cooperative Extension. First of all, let's tell people what being a master food preserver means.
Well, actually, it means that you have gone through a course. And here in Humboldt County, we've offered this course now 3 years in a row. It is essentially now takes all your Saturdays in February and their subsequent Monday evenings.
Yes.
And it's an intense course, but it is all-encompassing for all methods of food preservation. And when you come out of there, you feel very capable in preparing or preserving foods. And also, you've been trained to educate the public in some way. There are so many different ways that we are interacting with the public.
Yeah. And right now, so this is like food preservation heaven right now. We're in the fall.
Yes.
It's like everything we love is just happening at the farmer's market. And you walk around and you buy all this produce and you get back to your house and you go, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Yes. I can't eat all of this week.
And that's where food preservation comes into play, because
yes,
we learn these ways to make it so that in the middle of winter, when things are darkest and gloomiest, we can pull these flavors out of our freezer or
treasures,
out of a jar, and these treasures, yeah, and be able to taste the summer in the middle of winter.
Yeah, which is delightful.
Yes. Now, let's go through some of the things that we are seeing in the farmer's market right now, and you and I can talk about some of our favorite ways to prepare them.
Okay.
Let's start with corn, because, you know, sweet corn right now, I've got to say that a shout out to Ginger Sarvinsky of Sarvinsky Family Farm, which is also known as the Corn Crib down there in Pepperwood, is producing some of the sweetest corn I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
And I missed the corn this last weekend. I went looking for corn, and all of the corn was gone by the time I got to the
farmer's
market.
Oh, got to get there at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I got there at noon. It didn't work.
Oh, it's been fantastic. So what I've started doing is I've started dehydrating the corn.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I've started experimenting with some flavors even before I dehydrate it. So first what I do is, of course, is I shuck the corn, do a little steam blanch, which, you know, helps to preserve some of the vitamins in the corn.
You bet.
Cut it off the cob, toss it with some things like lime juice and chipotle chili powder, and dehydrate it. It takes my dehydrator, an old clunky one, about 24 hours to do that.
But you know what? It would probably take close to that length of time, even with the more modern ones. It just takes that much time,
yeah,
to get the moisture out. And you don't want the moisture in any of your vegetables to leave so fast that you have a hard shell and then you aren't actually removing the moisture from the inside.
You can end up with
That's
mold
right.
if you do that.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that happens, once I'm sure it's completely dry, I put it in a little Ziploc bag. And then some of the pieces that might be more moist than others, like the super dry ones, kind of pull that moisture out.
Right.
It kind of equalizes the moisture in those bags. And then I toss it in the freezer just to make sure if there were any, you know, little bugs in there or anything like that, make sure that for 24 hours, that kills those.
You know, I think it's important for people to know that when we suggest that you pasteurize your dried products by throwing it in the freezer, it is for a 24-hour period. It isn't for 3 months, and it is for that short a time. So it's not going to be taking, well, it wouldn't take a lot of your freezer space anyway, but it's not going to be in there for very long.
Yeah. Now, what's one of your favorite things that you're seeing in the farmer's market right now and your favorite way to preserve it?
Well, tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, tomatoes this year are outrageous.
Yeah.
The quantity, the price is excellent, and the flavor, oh,
yeah,
it's like a
I look at your
little,
mouth is watering.
I know. Could we have a drool bucket or anything here? They are so delicious.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not just speaking of the specialty crops. I mean, even like your plum tomatoes. If you
uh-huh.
like to can tomatoes, which is one of the things that my daughters and I like to do.
Uh-huh.
We just finished last weekend.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. They are really incredible. Yeah.
And so what do you make with them?
You know, we started canning sauce, already seasoned sauce and uh-huh. that kind of thing. But what we found was that there was so much more versatility for the tomato if we just quartered them and canned them that way. So you crush a layer in your pan and bring it to a boil. Then you add quartered, skinned tomatoes and cook it for 5 minutes, get it up to boiling 5 minutes, and then you put them in your jars and process them in a water bath canner and add a little bit of lemon juice, salt if you want. It's a versatile product.
That's the thing to me, too, is keeping things as simple as possible so that you can use them for so many different things. You could use it in Mexican. You can use it in Italian. You can use it in Indian. I mean, there are just so many ways that you can use that product. Whereas once you spice it up, you're committed.
That's what you've got. That's right. And the thing is that when you start talking about specialty recipes with tomatoes, then you also are going to be canning it for a longer period of time or possibly pressure canning it.
Yeah.
I like simplicity.
One of the things I discovered just recently is roasting garlic, you know, with oil and salt, and then taking that roasted garlic and freezing it in ice cube trays, and then using it. Oh my God, it is exactly like it was when it got roasted.
Okay, so you just roast it, put it with a little bit of oil. Only oil?
Yeah, you know how people do, they cut the heads off the garlic and they drizzle a little olive oil over it and put a little salt on it and put it in like aluminum foil packet and put it in the oven. Well, I always hate, you know, heating up the whole oven for just for that. So I always try and remember when I got something else going. But I did an entire row in my oven of this roasted garlic. So I ended up with probably 6 or 7 cups of roasted garlic gooey deliciousness. That's been really working for me to roast all that garlic at once. And then I don't have to, you know, roast little bits of it here and there when I want to prepare a meal. And we're really good at like, oh, let's put a blob of that roasted garlic in whatever.
Yes.
And it's going to make whatever really taste great.
So it's nice in that once you've frozen it in your ice cube trays, then you can take those little cubes out and just have a bag of garlic, essentially.
Makes it so simple.
Sounds like a great idea, Jennifer.
Thanks. How about you? So what other thing have you discovered this year?
Well, one thing that I had was a veritable plethora of pears, Bartlett pears, and they were divine. And so I did a variety of things with them. I canned some because my granddaughter absolutely loved canned pears, and made some pear mincemeat. And then also a ginger pear marmalade. And then I dried some. So I had a variety of things from the same product. And a friend was recently telling me that with her canned pears, they put a single bay leaf in each jar. She said it just peaked that flavor. And I'll bet it did. And I was thinking when you were talking about the garlic, could you just kind of put a little basil in with the garlic in your cubes so that you have your basil all ready for some of them.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of one of my favorite things every year to freeze is pesto.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pesto is so wonderful. You, again, can do it in ice cube trays or you can just do it in little blobs in cellophane and just keeping that moisture out, you know, so wrapping it tight so that any sort of air or moisture stays away from that blob of pesto. And then it adds that nice fresh flavor into anything that you're cooking, whether it's tomato sauce or soup.
Got a question for you now. When you freeze your pesto, do you freeze it with the Parmesan cheese added, or do you wait and add that later?
I add it ahead of time. Okay. I add it when I'm making the pesto.
I've made it both ways, and both ways works very well. So essentially, you put your pesto ingredients together except for the Parmesan cheese. And then if you want to just have that basil oil nutty flavor, then you can have that without the Parmesan or you can add it.
Right. And then I think also just any sort of an herb with oil making into ice cube size pieces you can do. Well, imagine that we've killed 10 minutes.
Is that right? Oh, my goodness.
We could talk for hours.
We've barely scratched the surface.
Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and again, I've had the pleasure of talking with Joyce Houston, Master Food Preserver. Thank you so much, Joyce.
You're very welcome.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.